God's heart. It's not the Oklahoma Sooner school, you know. It's the people that are here. So, and I just want to pass this on to you. As you think about God's will for your own life, you've got to always consider, all right, God, now, before you ask the question, God, what's your will for me? You say, God, what's your will? Because you see, God has a will for His world, which He's created. And as you will find, as you study the Bible, the big thing that's on God's heart is reconciliation. Now, it's said in many different ways, but God created us to have fellowship with Him. And because of our rebellion, we've been separated from Him. God continued to love us, and He sent His Son, Jesus, to bring us back into relationship with God. And the big thing that's on God's heart for this world is reconciliation, to bring this world back into relationship with Him. So whatever our vision is, it has to have to do with reconciliation, or God will not be identified with it. Because that's the big thing that's on God's heart, is reconciliation. All right, how do we go about that? The big thing that's on God's heart for this campus is to see people come into a relationship with Him. Men and women on this campus whose lives will be transformed, as we've seen tonight, will invite Jesus Christ to come into their life and allow Him to settle down and become Lord of that life. Now, that's what God has in mind for this campus. All right, how do we go about that? Well, let me share a few things with you. The first thing I think we have to do, those of us that are Christian, is the first thing is to spread a broad net. We go out on the campus and we begin to evangelize. Now that's the very reason the Lamb's players are here. Now you know we've been visiting, we've gotten Bible studies going, we're trying to do many, many things. I think there were 32 Bible studies led by those of you here at BSU. 32 that met last night on Tuesday night. Now there are others that meet, but there are 32 that meet on Tuesday night. All right, we're trying to spread a broad net, go out and visit. That's the reason we had those parties out here on the front yard. You know, get new people over and throw a broad net and expose people. Now, that's the reason the Lamb's players are here, because there'll be some unsuspecting soul that thinks tomorrow night he's just going to dinner. Well, see, God has planned for a long time, long before they ever knew, to use that to communicate with someone that perhaps we've totally missed, or someone perhaps you've been working with, and God will use this to help communicate to them. So, wherever we go, and this is a principle for you to remember wherever you go the rest of your life, is you begin to relate to people, you begin on the job where you are, in the community where you are, is to spread a net. Begin to communicate with people about you, and always fly your flag and let people know what you stand for, that you are a Christian and you begin to share with them. And so that's what we're seeking to do. Now, we will never be able to just try beachhead evangelism, that is just like as our group, we're going to go over on the campus and we're going to win everyone to the Lord. You know, you hear people talk about these grandiose ideas, we're going to win the campus. Now, I want to be realistic in what we do and properly motivate people so you don't have to, so you don't falsely motivate them and come back a year later when you haven't been able to do it and have to find out something else to motivate them. Like I had a particular individual come into my office some time ago trying to raise support, and as she went through a little flip chart, she said, well, you know, our objective is to win the world by 1980. And I said, well, you're really going to have to hurry, you know, just a few months. But see, they came out with that many, many years ago, and they hadn't even changed their literature. They're still trying to do it by 1980. Well, I wonder what they'll do in 1981. Well, see, I don't want us to try to falsely motivate people. You know, we're going to win the campus. Now, let me tell you, if you'll study the Bible, you'll see that God, not everyone is ever going to become a Christian of any nation, of any time. The Bible says that there are, the way is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. Now, I don't know how many few is, but it's less than many. It's somewhere less than half. So if we could just do half, you know, reach half of them, I'd be encouraged. But the point is, we want to go out and start out in evangelism, and we can do some direct evangelism, but there's never a way that any one group will ever be able just to consistently go, 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 go in a go type evangelism, knocking on doors, confronting people, and ever reach any large area. And there's several reasons for it. For example, there's a group that tried this, and I heard a tape not long ago by Jim Peterson in which he said, in Latin America, group after group has tried that. Like, for example, here's a little country of Honduras. A number of years ago, some particular evangelical group got organized, and they worked through the churches, and they worked for months. They planned for years, and they went in there, and their objective was to witness to everyone in that country, and they claimed they did it. And they probably came as near doing as anyone ever could. But Ralph Winters went back and made a study on that country a year later. 1 year later, there were less people in the churches than there had been the year before during that big campaign. And not only that, but they found out what happened to the Christians because it was cancel everything, go, 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 day after day, every day, month after month after month, visit, visit. You've got so many people to contact, and you've got to hurry because you've got so many blocks to cover. But over a period of time, the people were just absolutely worn out. And they missed their vacation this year, so the year after they thought, I didn't get it last year, so I better take it. And after they took one, they thought they were entitled to another one. And he said many of the people went through what they call evangelism indignation. Indigestion. Indigestion. And there just came a time, you can't just go all the time with a high-pressure type evangelism and ever reach the world, because there's never going to be any group that can sustain itself long enough to do that. Now, we are going to reach out, we're going to go visit, we're going to knock on doors, we're going to throw a broad net, but all of that is for a purpose, to begin to expose people and find those that are ready and begin to plant seed with others and to begin to pray. And then always the idea is, once you throw that net, is to draw that in and see what you caught. And so we're looking for people. That's the object of evangelism, to go out there, see where God's working, begin to expose people, and then bring those people in. And once we do that, then it's time to begin to do some building. Now, as well as the going out and the evangelization of total strangers, we want to see, as a result of that, you begin to build relationships. And that's one of the reasons we're set up in the dorm Bible studies, as we are, where you'll take a floor or two floors or something like that, so that you have to go back and back and back to that same area and begin to build some relationships with people. Now, you go around and visit them, but then you get some in your Bible study. And then as a result of those you have in your Bible study, you begin to relate to them. Now, one of the things we're most interested in is developing in you a lifetime of relationship evangelism. Evangelism that you can live with. For example, now there are times in which I'll go out into an area and go knock on every door. But you know, I've watched this through the years, and I live on out in an area, and I've never knocked on every door in the community where I live. See, once you get out of school, that is probably not the practical way to go about it. Because there are some people in my community, there may be times in which I would do that for some particular reason. But see, it's much better for me to begin to relate to my neighbors, and there's some, though we may live in the same community, we have nothing in common except we live on Vine Street. And so we've got to learn how to relate to people in areas where we live, in our jobs, in our communities, and such that as we go out in life, God can use us. Now, we will do the forays out in evangelism at times, and there's always a place for that, and there's a place to talk to strangers, but always as we begin to do that, we begin to build relationships. Like when you go on your job, when you get out of here, you'll get a job someplace. We want you to be equipped to get on that job, to immediately let people know that you're a Christian, learn to do this in a gracious way, and begin to witness to people and begin to build relationships with people there. And God will use you then to reach people. So, the thing I'm trying to say is that the evangelism we want you to learn is certainly how to talk to total strangers, but then once you begin to do that, to begin to build relationships. And see, one of the things you're doing is exposing people to the gospel. Now, God has an amazing way. Have you ever looked through the epistles, for example, at the admonitions to witness? Now, you'll see all through the book of Acts the story of what they did. But when you get in the epistles, you don't find very many exhortations to go out and witness. But you'll find things like this. You wives, submit yourselves unto the husbands. And even Paul would write that, and Peter and others that hear people, that maybe your husband's not a Christian, but you submit to him in such a way that as a result of the way you act, he can become a Christian without you saying a word. Isn't that amazing? And you'll see Paul writing to slaves, and he'll say, now you submit yourself to your master, and you work such that even those who are not Christians will know that you're a follower of Christ. And you find in Colossians that we're to live in such a way, even those that are contrary might find no evil thing to say of us. And again, all through the Bible, you find things like that. Now, what's he getting at? A quality of life is the best evangelism there is. You live the life, and as a result of it, not in order not to speak, you're always willing to speak, but you begin to live a quality of life, and as a result of that quality of life, it's attractive to people, and you learn how then, at the proper time, to begin to share the message with others. Okay? So we go out in evangelism. We begin to relate to people. You start a Bible study. You start working with people. And then one of the things you want to do is begin to expose them. Any way you can, if they're not a Christian, expose them to the gospel. That's why I hope through the period of time you are here, you'll learn different books, different tracts, and things that will relate to certain people. Like if you're witnessing to a very intellectual person, the little book by Michael Green called Runaway World would be excellent for you to read. If you have a professor or someone like this you witness to and you feel like he's so far above you, you don't even know how to talk with him. Well, there are many different types of things you can use to witness to different people. And that's what we want you to learn to do. Now, once you begin to do this, you're always trying to expose the non-Christian to the gospel in any way and in as attractive a way as you possibly can. And you'll find as you read the New Testament, Jesus had an amazing way of doing this. He could talk with people, the woman at the well. He could meet total strangers. He could talk to them in an attractive way and share the message wherever he went. Now, as we begin to expose, as well as exposing the non-Christian to the gospel, we want to expose the Christian to things that will help him to grow. I mean, that's the very reason we have Vespers week after week. That's the reason we had the retreat last weekend. We want to get people around and begin to expose them to the vision of discipleship, to the vision of beginning to walk with God, to growing as a Christian. And so that's why you get people to come to your Bible study. You want them to be exposed. Now, don't become impatient. See, that's the easy thing to do because some of these people in your Bible study, you almost have to drag them. You know, you tell them on Monday night, will you come? Yes, they'll come, and you know, then they won't show up. But you go by, you keep encouraging them, and you want to get them around and expose them. One of the things God uses is exposure, and one of the things He'll use in your life is exposure. That's why we try to bring different people in to speak to you, retreats, all that, to expose you, because there are areas in your life, just like the closet, for example. Now, she was having a great time showing Jesus around the house. I mean, things are going great for a while. See, Jesus doesn't come in the first day and say, all right, where's the closet? See, He works on us little at a time. And God's working in some of your lives. And it'll be next week when Benton's here. The thing that may really turn you around might be when he's here. Or it may be this Bible study or this conference or this personal time with someone. But we're always trying to expose people. Expose them. Expose them. Expose a non-Christian to the gospel. Expose the Christian to the things, to teaching about the Christian life, things that can help him to grow. Always, the objective in mind is to help people. We're always trying to help them. You get them to come to Bible study. Why? Because you want to help him. Now see, many times these people don't see their need. They don't know really where they are. And unless you care and you pray and you live the life before them and continue to do everything you can to expose them, many of them will never get beyond the point where they are right now. And so that's what we're trying to do. Expose them. Always expose them. Encourage them. Relate to them. Now, when it comes to helping, see, we cast it out, our teaching, whatever we do, in order to help. We want to help this person. Now, amidst all this trying to help them, we're always looking for those who are beginning to respond. Because we want to have something for people at all levels. If a person's not a Christian, we continue to go at him with the gospel, some way that he will accept it, challenging his thinking, always trying to be before him with the gospel, not only with words, but a quality of life. You see, someone was sharing year before last, here's a person that comes in drunk, and so I have to help him to bed, and this type of thing. Well, you see, as a result of helping a person in time of need, later, because of this Christian who helps, maybe this person will become a Christian. And we've seen that actually happen. So you don't give up on people, but always exposing them. Always exposing them. Exposing, exposing. And then, as they get in a little closer, you begin to help them as they will let you. And then once they come in a little closer, as a result of the help, they're beginning to grow. Then you're always looking for those that you can expose more to the vision of what you're doing and helping them deeper in their own personal walk with God. And this is done through several ways. It's done through large group meetings, you know, Vespers. It's done through the small group Bible studies. And in the New Testament, you see that. The large group meetings, the small group meeting. And you see the person to person, one person helping another person. Now, at the beginning of the semester, we try to always throw a broad net, just seeing who's there, who and whose heart is God working, on what particular floors. You know, it'd amaze you, some of you, but like, for example, maybe in Walker Tower, here are certain floors where, I mean, there's just people that come to Bible study, all you've got to do is go knock on the door. There'll be other floors in that same dorm, and we don't know how to explain it, but we're, I mean, you struggle to get a Bible study going. So we always put out feelers to try to find out where God's working and begin to sow the seed, looking for those that are interested and exposing people both to the gospel and in those who are Christian to the things of God so they can begin to see what God has in mind for their life. And when you find those people, you're always trying to help them. Help the lost to come to Christ, help those who are saved to come to know Him and begin to grow. Help them in a quiet time, all this type of thing. You begin to bring them around to meetings so you can expose them further so God can challenge them and begin to help them in their life. And then, as they get in close, to begin to spend time with them, personal time. Now, many of you leading Bible studies, you've already found some. Maybe you'd hoped you'd have 10 in your Bible study, but you've got 3 that are always there and they're very eager. Now, you'd make a giant mistake to neglect those 3. And so what you want to do is begin with those few to spend some time. Maybe there's one. See, if out of every one of our Bible studies at the end of this year, each person had one other person that they were discipling on a personal basis, this would be a fantastic year. Now, our desire, remember, is for the campus. We want everyone on the campus to hear. Now, we know not everyone will become a Christian, but we don't know which ones. And so we want to tell all of them. And then let God deal in their lives, and some will respond. Now, the best way to evangelize any group, there has to be something of a spontaneous movement. And one of the best ways for that to happen is for those that we begin to reach to begin to grow. And then it becomes a lifestyle. And see, if we can get evangelism and walking with Christ to become a lifestyle in your life, then evangelism will be going on every single day, every hour on this campus. Because you will be living among these students. You're in class with them. You're in the dorms with them. You're in different activities with them. And you live the life, and people know where you stand. You're leading Bible studies. You're witnessing. You're always serving and trying to find ways you can help people so people know you're different. And this way, evangelism is constantly going on. Now, when Paul would go into a certain area, he was not able to evangelize by himself all the people in Ephesus. And he didn't seem to worry about that a great deal. But he would go into an area, he would preach, people would respond, and he would begin to train in depth some of those people. Teach them, help them, get them in little churches, little groups where they could grow and where they could relate to each other and where they could receive instruction and pray together. And then as a result of that, those people would begin to evangelize others. So you see, there's two big things really. On the campus, we've got to make a beachhead. We've got to get Bible study started. We've got to get those of you out there relating Jesus Christ to the campus. And as we begin to do that, as you live the life, and the only way you'll be involved in evangelism over the long term is as you walk with Christ on a daily basis. And as you do that, you learn everything you can about how to ask the right questions, how to use these opportunities to witness, and then God will begin to call people out of that campus. And there'll be people becoming Christians regularly on the campus. Many, many, many people on the campus will know of Christ, and many people will turn to Him. Now, that's the way a campus can be evangelized. You see, I think if there's a student over here at OU, and he has a hunger for God, God started working in his life, God has an amazing way of leading someone to that person. Now, just like the day Joe Rustin and I went over on the campus, we'd pray. We didn't know where to go. I mean, that's a big campus. Where do you go to try to meet people? So we happened to go over to a certain dorm and just walk up on the floor. But see, God knew exactly where Kelsey was. And see, many of you are already finding out in the dorms and as you've tried to relate people on the campus, you've been amazed as to the way God's led you. Now see, I believe this is one hungry person at OU, and we're praying and we're walking with God. God should be able to lead us to that person. And I believe He will. And so that's why we're always working at it. We never give up. You approach a person the first semester, maybe they're not interested at all. But you don't give up on them. You love them. I mean, if they're on the floor where you are, you still speak to them. They know where you stand. You continue to pray, and the day will come in which you'll see God do some amazing things. Now, not everyone will become a Christian while they're here. But you know, I'm running into people all the time that are alums of OU. When they were here, you could not drag them into the BSU. But you know, later, maybe as a result of a witness here, and I've had some of them to tell me, you know, when I was here, I knew a certain person. And they told me, and this person witnessed to me, or this person went to the BSU, or I was in a Bible study. They didn't become a Christian at that time, but maybe 3 years after they got out of school, they have now become a Christian and are walking with God. So see, our job, and the reason God's placed us here, is not just to get an education. Because see, if that's all you get while you're here, when you get out, you'll just transfer that education to a job, and you'll give all your time to a job, just like some people give all their time to getting their education. Now, we want to do well in education. We want to invade every area of this campus that we possibly can. Now, there are some areas, for example, that we may do very little. Well, someday God will bring someone along, and perhaps that person's ready, and we can invade that area of the campus. I wish we could reach all international students. I mean, there are hundreds of them here. I wish we could reach those, but as of now, not a great deal is happening in that area. Now, most of you, or a lot of you, would have class with one or two. You could get to know someone in that area, begin a relationship, and begin to share a witness. My wife came to know a lady here from Iran. And as you know, if you know anything at all about what's going on when it comes to reaching people, they're very difficult to reach due to their background. Well, this lady became somewhat interested. As a result of them being here in this country, and he had been in the government back in Iran, and as a result of the turmoil, he had been associated with the government there, and so one day she called my wife and she said, you know, she talked very softly on the telephone, and this just happened last semester, last spring. And she said, you know, we're afraid to go out of our apartment. Said our life has been threatened. So we went out this morning, all of our tires on our car had been slashed. Said we've got threatening notes. The Iranian students, some of them right here at OU, have threatened to kill us because we've been associated with a government back in Iran. And she said, we are literally scared to death. She was afraid to go out to get groceries or do anything. And so when she talked to my wife, and my wife said, well, we'll try to come over. She said, no. She said, we're afraid that if you come, then there could be danger to your life. And so we figured out a way that we could get to them. My wife and this other lady said, well, we're going to come anyway, and so we'll just start down the street knocking on doors and just out visiting, and we'll be loud about it. So they did. They had that figured out. They just happened to come by this girl's apartment. So they started down the street, you know, tell them two ladies, and they get out, and let's go over here and visit this apartment. They'd go over and knock on this door and knock on this. Well, I don't think there's anybody home there. And so they'd go over and knock on this. So they went to this girl's door. Well, they thought, you know, if somebody was watching, which they said there's someone watching their house at all times, you know, they wouldn't think anything about it. And so they went to this home and visited with this lady. We're able to encourage her. We're able to help her to get out of the country. They wanted to go back and try to clear their name. They were convinced that's what they should do. She called just night before last or two or three nights ago, and they were back in this country and said, now we're going to Lincoln, Nebraska. We don't feel like we can come back here, but we're going to the University of Nebraska. So we called our friends up there, Brett and Mary Ann, and this girl said, and the husband said before he ever left, and she had been very interested in becoming a Christian. He said, you know, I've seen the Muslim faith and said it doesn't work. But said, the one thing I do know that works is Christianity works because I've seen it. And some of them, my wife is there with a group of ladies tonight, and one of the men had said some time ago, well, you know, one thing I know, the only people that have shown real interest in us and Norman have been the Baptists. Now, they know that there's something different. So we called Brett and Mary on, and Mary called last night. And when that couple got there, they did not know one person in Lincoln. And so they've been staying with Brett and Mary, and they've been having a fantastic time. They're very open to the gospel and very close to becoming Christians. Well, I wish we could see a lot more happening, like in the area of internationals, in the area of fraternities, a lot of areas. Well, you see, God's placed you here, and in the area where you are, and you don't have to feel guilty about areas where you cannot function, but in the dorm where you are, in the major where you are, in the sorority where you are, someplace, God wants you to gear in, and you don't have to know everything. And some of you are new, and this is your first year here, and you might think, well, I don't know very much about it. But let me tell you, you concentrate on walking with God yourself and learn to share where you stand with Jesus. And you begin to pray and love and serve people about you, and you'll see something happen. I mean, there will be many, many people on this campus become Christians. Now, as far as our view for the campus, see, this is a transitory situation. I mean, you will be here 4 years, most of you, 4 years, and then you'll be gone. So you're simply passing through. But during the time you're here, the reason you came in the first place is to help prepare you for life, particularly in an area of a vocation. Now, our desire is, while you're here, to help equip you for life to be the man or woman God wants you to be. And you're going to find, once you get out of school, you're going to need to know many, many things about relating to people. And so we hope, during the time you're here, that you'll hang in with us, that you'll be involved in those things that we offer here, and the Bible studies and different things, to try to help equip you to become the man or woman God wants you to be. Now, there'll be some hard times with the studying and the pressure's on, and there'll be some of you be tempted to drop by the wayside. But when you get out in life, you're going to have those same pressures. And so while you're here, let me encourage you to learn everything you can about sharing the good news of God, because that's the reason you're here. That's the reason you're in the earth. God wants to use you to reach other people. Okay, let's pray together. Now, Father, there are many, many opportunities we have beyond this campus to see people reached here and go to other campuses, other parts of the world. But right now, Lord, our major needs to be on our own walks with you and sharing Jesus Christ with those people that are right around us, right here on the campus. Father, I thank you for the literally hundreds of people that even the people that are here tonight have contact with in a week's time. And Lord, those that, as I know some, have a departmental exam tonight and could not be here, and others for various reasons. But I thank you for the literally hundreds of people every week that we can in some way share a witness with. Now, God, I pray that you'd help each of us while we're here to learn how to grow, to walk with you, to begin to share with other people in a lifestyle and in a pattern of evangelism that we can keep throughout our lives. Now, Lord, we don't know what will happen here. We don't know how many people will become Christians. But we know that if a few people begin to share the message of Christ in an attractive way, day after day after day, where they live, you will call out of that lost crowd those who will be attracted to you. And you'll do in their lives, Lord, what you've done in our lives. And we thank you for that. And I pray, God, that during our time here we'd not become so busy with the studies and the other activities that we do not thoroughly prepare ourselves for our ministry here and for the ministry you'll give us for the rest of our days. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. We do ask that you would greatly bless our time together tomorrow as the Lamb's players come. Father, that I just would pray that out in eternity we may never know of it, but Father, there'd be someone whose life was turned around as a result of what happens tomorrow evening. And then for our time here tomorrow evening, for the Kegs for Christ, as we give, I pray, Lord, that other little children, as Kathy told us about tonight, and men and women might come to know Jesus as a result of what we do. Father, thank you for the many, many ways you give us to be involved in sharing the good news of Jesus, because we've prayed in his name. Amen.